around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And I actually have a co-host today, Marcus Thibodeau, my favorite person from the French Quarters in New Orleans. Anyway, he is the, he's got so many titles now, but I'll stick with the one I really know about. He is the manager for Pack Saddle and Ellis County WMAs. He's on the show today. We're going to talk turkeys, quail. We're going to talk wildlife today. Habitat, we're going to do all kinds of stuff. Coming up in the second segment, I'm going to have him on here for quite a while today. And then, first of all, let's see what's happening with the temperatures. Looks like Hollis, you guys are at 73, but looking at my rainfall amount, you guys down there in southwestern Oklahoma, getting your rain caught up with northwestern Oklahoma. So anyway, everything's good down there. Congratulations on the good rainfalls you got down in there. Anybody's listening down there in southwestern part, let us know how much rain you got, please. Today in Ag text line is 580-225-9697. Easy number, 225-9697. Tell us how much rain you fall you got and what area you got and see what's going on there. 75 degrees at Arnett, home of the Miss Lori Campbell. 72 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the famous Secret Weapon. 65 at Buffalo, 67 at Slapout, 65 at Beaver, way on the east, 76 degrees at Fairview, 75 at, where is that? Helena. I know you don't have a Mesonet Center there, but it's close to you, so I always say Helena because that's home of one of my favorite buddies from that area around Ringwood and up in there. It's Kip Hungerford. I said that right. Hungerford. There we go. If you say it slower, it works out and get better. 73 degrees at Lipscomb, 72 at Miami, 69 at Dozer, 70 at Wellington, 75 at Childress, and 77 at Odell. All right. Let's check out some of the grain markets. Wheat. It was up yesterday and it's getting hammered today. Currently right now, corn's at 585 for July, 515 for September. Soybeans for July, 1323. August is 1257. Soybean meal for July, 404.60. August is 430 cents. And September is 391.20. Soybean for July, 48.12. August, 48.18. 48.13 for September. Hard red winter wheat. Harvest time, of course, it's going to plunge. July, 812, down 29. September's 807, down over 26. Oats are actually up today. July's 327, September's 334. Cotton for July is down a little bit at 84 cents a pound. October, 83 cents a pound. I want to throw this out there at you guys. We I talked about it last week about it's planting season for cotton, peanuts, everything. People are putting in their summer forage crops. And wheat harvest is here. We've talked about combines rolling through. And still, if you see some combines rolling through, be sure and text me where you've seen them. And we know they're headed south. So you, anyway, let me know about that. But there's already been some accidents in Oklahoma, a bad one down at Altus where somebody either pulled out, I think from my understanding, pulled out in front of a combine, probably traveling down the highway, but and there's over towards Frederick, somewhere in that area there, somebody crossed the center line in front of a truck hauling a combine. Guys, for at least the next 30 or 45 days, be careful out there on interstates, the state highways, the county roads, blacktops and gravel roads and stuff. It's busy time for farmers. And there's equipment out on the road and except for the interstates. Farm Equipment does have the right-of-way out here in western Oklahoma, and I'm sure the eastern Texas Panhandle. But just be aware of what's going out there. If you're traveling down these roads, just be aware. Farmers are busy. They're focused on what they're doing, planting, combining, and the combining is going to get busy, especially right here in central west Oklahoma, in probably 2 to 3 weeks, and it's getting busy down there in the northern Texas, north Texas, and parts of southern Oklahoma right now. They're already moving in that area, so please, please be aware of farm equipment out on the highways, semis, grain carts. I mean, just be careful. Be aware, and we'll update you more on that to come. Also, I want to, from me and everybody here at the station and all the listeners and the Day in Ag listeners, you guys hear me giving Sugar Daddy a bunch of crap about every day mainly. But anyway, he's going to be going through some procedures in the hospital in Oklahoma City tomorrow, I believe. And for his health, keep him on your mind and send a prayer towards the family for Brian Silt. And we're thinking about you and hope everything works out really good for you tomorrow. So anyway, prayers and thoughts out for man Sugar Daddy. Okay, let's see what's causing all this ruckus on the wheat futures. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading as more rain is expected in the southern plains through the weekend. On ample global supplies and on ample global supplies, precipitation is forecasted for parts of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle through Sunday. Temperatures near Guymon will remain cool for the rest of the week, topping out in the upper 70s until Sunday when it finally reaches the lower 80s. Lows will be in the upper 50s during the overnight areas hours. There's a 70% chance of thunderstorm tonight in parts of the Oklahoma Panhandle. The Black Sea Grain Initiative, the agreement keeping ag products moving out of Ukraine, was renewed for 2 months, so it's adding supplies to the global market. While that's bearish for wheat prices, ships aren't moving as freely as some had hoped. Russia's refusing to inspect ships out there at one of the Black Sea ports, which was one of the main ones where the grain is shipped, according to the report from Rutgers, citing officials from Ukraine. Agriculture products, however, are reportedly moving out of the other ports after the green agreement was renewed through mid-July. Wheat for July delivery overnight dropped 7.5 cents, even though it's down even more today at 6.14¾ at Chicago. Kansas City fell 11 cents to 8.30. Corn futures lost 3.5 cents, but it's already up today. Soybean futures for July delivery was down 6 cents to $13.16 a deal. And then rainfall across much of the southern plains in the past week brought some drought relief to the region, though precipitation came too late for some winter wheat, according to the weekly weather and crop bulletin. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma Panhandles, according to the National Weather Service precipitation map. Rangeland, pastures, and summer crops greatly benefited from the recent precipitation, said the Crop Bulletin, which is in a collaboration with by departments of Commerce and Agriculture and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The outlook through the end of August is mixed as drought will continue to persist in parts of Oklahoma and Texas, while conditions are expected to remain but improved in much of southwestern Kansas and western Oklahoma. If realized, this was despite the recent rainfalls. However, a third of the U.S. winter wheat crop will be abandoned this year as dry weather for much of the growing season hit the southern plains where hard red winter wheat varieties are grown. If realized, this will be the highest abandonment rate since 1917. Texas is expected to abandon an astounding 70% of its crops, while Oklahoma farmers will leave 53% of their fields, according to the government. There you go. Well, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up here right after this break, and then we're going to chit-chat a little bit with Marcus and see what he knows about farming. He's like, nah, don't do this to me. And we got some update on accident from Officer James Edwards, Lieutenant James.
That's right.
Yeah, we got some update just right before the show started. It was short notice. But anyway, so he had an accident. Stalking Bigfoot.
I've heard several different stories, but the latest
we'll get to all of them. How about that? Well, yeah. I want to hear all your stories, but man, because I'm a big Bigfoot fan. You know, I got a web a Facebook page on Bigfoot.
Might not be after this deal.
I mean, not. Anyway, we'll have more on that. This is going to be a long show. I can already tell it. So anyway, we'll be right back after this Taylor Ranch break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field. Or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Currently out here in the Texas Panhandle, I've picked Wellington. It's 71 degrees and I got my new glasses on. I got trifocals and that computer looks kind of weird. Anyway, 71 degrees, humidity's at 74, 63 is the dew point. The winds are out of the north at 2 with wind gust up to 3. So they must have had a storm roll through there sometime after midnight because peak wind gust today was 30 miles an hour. Where are we at here? Month-to-date precipitation, holy moly, 5.57 inches at Wellington, Texas. That's got a, you got to be ahead of schedule there. That's a lot of rain for down around Wellington. No red flag minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, it's cooled down from a couple days ago. It's at 69 degrees. Anyway, the text line is lit up with stuff. Yes, my new Today in Ag puppy is a wire hair pointing Griffon. We call him Griffs, and her name is Beth. And I've had people ask me yesterday, and I forgot to respond to them. Somebody seen a older gleaner with no support equipment going through Cheyenne, and cotton's going in. Gentleman texted in, and he's north of Leedy. He's putting cotton in the ground today. And then another gentleman's got some hay for sale. If anybody wants some wheat hay, right here in the Elk City area, he's got some hay for sale. 580-821-2838 if you're looking for some hay to go there. How about that? And then there's already two pages of text coming in. Let me see what the 1.7 inches in Hollis Farm North Gold missed out. So pretty spotty. So anyway, Marcus, how's the rainfall been up there in Yankee country?
We've been missing some of it. I'll take anything we can get, but
yes, you got some in there, haven't you?
Yeah, we've gotten some, but nothing like some of these other places.
Yeah, it's good though. You guys,
I'll take anything I can get.
Everybody, Marcus Thibodeau, my famous French Quarters guy, is joining me today, and we're gonna talk turkeys, quail, habitat, and mix in a little bit of beef news in with our conversation here and take the whole show up with you because you always got some good stuff to talk about. And Marcus is a WMA manager for Pack Saddle and Ellis County. You're also, what's your other titles? I hear they're calling you the turkey whisperer now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get that a little bit. Titles don't matter. I'm just trying to make.
Paperwork does.
Yeah. I'm the senior biologist for Southwest Oklahoma for the wildlife stuff, and I'm the Western Turkey Coordinator for Oklahoma.
And so, Western Oklahoma or the whole state?
Whole state.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And let's start out a little bit about how our season went. How did the season go overall?
We were expecting harvest to be up a little bit just because, you know, last season with our turkey decline, a lot of people chose not to hunt. You know, there were guides that didn't offer turkey hunts and things like that last season. With our reduced bag limit, you know, we went from 3 birds statewide, just 1. But harvest this year compared to last year was up almost 30%. So it was
good.
Really, a lot of people getting out there, having some success. It was good.
Well, I can see by just doing drive-bys, the turkey population has increased from what it was last year and the year before. It's not back to normal by no means.
No, it's going to take a long time to get back to normal, but definitely not across the board, but generally and in, you know, different areas, a little spotty, but Western Oklahoma did really good last year.
Right. And what do you think the main helping cause was on that?
Habitat from the weather,
right?
Just the turkeys were able to get some nests laid down and not have to battle the severe weather last year, and with that weather stuff, the domino effect of making some better habitat across the landscape.
All right. Well, you know, we've had the last two springs we've had last year, and yeah, I know it's raining now, but it was dry. It was really dry all winter long, and up till what, 3 weeks ago or something, we started finally getting some measurable rains. So it was really dry last year, and there wasn't a lot of harvesting going on, a lot of, unless it was under irrigation mainly, wheat harvest, rye harvest, and stuff like that. Do you think with no more harvesting going on, and even the crops wasn't even really good enough to make hay bales, did you think that helped out a little bit with the turkeys?
I think the biggest thing was moving the season back. Last season was the first year where we moved the season back.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it used to open up on April 1st, and we moved it back to the 16th. And that's not just an arbitrary date to make it later. We do poult surveys. You know, like we're getting reports of poults right now. And we use those to backdate when turkeys are laying nests or initiating nests. And so we moved the season back to where about 40-50% of turkeys have already initiated a nest.
Okay.
And, to help with that. Our season before that, we were shooting turkeys and harvesting turkeys, pressuring turkeys before they had a chance to breed.
In the nest.
So,
right. That makes sense. And it looks like it's slowly paying off.
I think so.
Yeah. It's just been a year, but still.
I think it made a big difference. To
right.
Me. But, you know, that's just.
Because I had a big old Tom with a big old paintbrush. I sent you a picture of him hanging out on me there by the house. He had little 5 hens to himself. Him and his deal. And I have a bad feeling those hens are nested in them oats. I'm getting ready to start swathing. And I hate it, but, I mean, you know, a lot of times I've swathed around them, just left that area. But then it opens them up to predator. We were talking before the show, and not to change course here on our conversation, but, you know, they've already came out publicly with some of the results on in southeastern Oklahoma on what's happening to nest, why they're setting on them and stuff. And you made a very interesting comment about probably things people don't even think about is the hens were on the nest, it's raining. What happens when that goes on when it's rain? Because they got to sit on the nest longer.
Yeah, they've got to sit on the nests for a lot longer than they would in drier conditions or warmer conditions. You know, you don't get rain when it's hot outside, it cools off.
Right.
So they're spending more time on a nest, they're getting wet, they're trying to protect those eggs from the rain, and so they just generate a lot more scent.
Right.
And that makes them more vulnerable to predation.
Right.
My old boss that's retired now used to call it the wet hen syndrome. So.
And only the turkey whisperer know that, wouldn't he? So, anyway, there's that come across my mind because, you know, you think about that, they're sitting in there, and it starts smelling, and even the dumbest of predators can finally smell it.
And, if you've ever harvested a turkey or been around a wild turkey, they stink anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
but it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when I come in from working outside and all sweaty and it's rained on me or something. Get out of my house.
You hear that every day.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so there's turkey season's going good. And I know a lot of people were a little disgruntled last year when you guys went to a one turkey limit. But look what it's doing.
Well, and, the one turkey limit came from hunters. We proposed to move it from 3 to 2, and we put all of our regulation changes out for public comment.
Right.
And unsolicited, you know, I don't know the exact percentage, but it was a huge percentage of people said, make it one bird.
Right.
We're okay with that. I mean, I was doing a little talk today, and one of the big things that I made a point of is that, man, a lot of people see being the turkey guy for the state right now during this decline kind of not being the best position to be in, but I've had nothing but just tons of support from turkey hunters in the state.
Why wouldn't you?
It's made a big difference. It's made my job a lot easier having so much support.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to be a turkey man than a quail man.
That's right.
And like I said, turkey population is slowly coming back in some areas. Maybe not all there. It's going to take time.
And we didn't just change regulations. We've hit the ground running with habitat work focused on turkeys. Working with the National Wild Turkey Federation. Look at my notes here, because like you saw before, I'm not great with numbers, remembering them, but the NWTF started a new initiative called Waterways for Wildlife.
Uh-huh.
And so you can apply for projects, and it's competitive against all the other states in the nation.
Okay.
And Oklahoma, last year I got one project funded, and with the matching that goes through with all that stuff, you know, we match donated dollars 3-1. We're doing $100,000 worth of cedar tree cutting at Pack Saddle WMA. And this year I got three applications funded, and we're going to be doing, after all the matching funds and all that stuff, over $200,000 of work across the state. So Hayburn WMA over east, Black Kettle is going to be doing a huge project with the Forest Service coming in and helping on it, and then Canton WMA.
What are they doing over there?
Canton's going to be cutting a lot of cedar trees. It's mainly what we're doing is just that roosting habitat is so critical, and so it's
right.
Most of it's just going to be
cedar tree
habitat enhancement, cedar tree removal, and roost tree restoration.
You know, I just had this thought. I know how you like to start fires with that. What is that machine gun that Quail Forever bought you? That what is it?
It's an AR-15 that shoots flares out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you send me videos of it, dude. Everybody, this thing he gets is cool. It's cool, and it's phosphorus or something that it flares.
Yeah, it's potassium permanganate.
Right.
I mean, the Department of Wildlife put it on their Instagram or one of those things. Not too long ago, when we were doing about a 1,500-acre burn at Pack Saddle,
right.
And it did pretty good.
Talk about getting rid of some cedar trees.
It'll do it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because what he's doing is this gives him an effort where he can shoot down in canyons to start a fire instead of up top and make sure you get everything.
Well, it's just a lot safer. We used to have to walk down there and light it by hand.
And try to get out of there.
Yeah, now we can do that, and I can burn with fewer people. It's easier on equipment. We can be safer doing it. It's a game changer.
Well, when I was out at the Hemp Hill County or County Beef Conference out there at Canadian here a while back, Abrahams has come out with a new deal that's right down your alley. You go buy two paintballs and shoot these chemical balls at these cedars, and it kills them. We might have to get you one of those.
Anything I can shoot, I find a use for it.
I got Marcus Thibodeau on here, wildlife manager for Pack Saddle and Ellis County. Now he's the senior biologist for Southwestern Oklahoma. And I still get confused by that because you're up north of the river.
Yeah, I'm the northernmost edge of it.
Yeah, so. You're the Yankee of the WMAs. I'm not making fun of Yankees. So it's just comment, all right? Anyway, we'll get that. Anyway, he'll be on here. We're going to come back. I'll have an update for you from the cow sale at Woodward yesterday. They actually had larger numbers than they did last week, and more on the Taylor Ranch. And what else? We got all kinds of things to talk about today. So anyway, let's take a Taylor Ranch break, and we'll come back. I'll have you update on your Long Ranger forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas Panhandle. And you can be listening to us on 96.5 KECO, 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. We're live on Facebook. We're live on KECOFM.com on our website. And so anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Come and get it. Are you a farmer or livestock producer? Then you're invited to attend one of several ribeye steak dinners and informational meetings courtesy of Ag Defense Risk Management. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes to subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance. It helps to manage risk you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at home and plan on attending their next meetings, Wednesday, May 24th at Rook Star, located at 408 East Broadway in Cheyenne, and Thursday, May 25th at the Senior Center, located at 101 North Missouri Street in Thomas. Ribeyes will be served at 6:30 p.m. RSVP is not required. For more information, visit their website at agdefenserm.com or call 580-454-4367. Best defense is Ag Defense. Ag Defense is an equal opportunity employer. Hope to see you there.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had a incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey. And honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind them. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of it.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. I got Marcus Thibodeau, works for the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. That'll cover all his titles. You got four titles, at least I know, plus the turkey whisperer. So anyway, let's check some weather out here. I'm going to go with Picketown in northwestern Oklahoma.
Crawford.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they don't have a mezzanette, but I'll find the closest one, which will be Arnett. I guess I could go on with Camargo, but I'll go with Arnett. Anyway, that's home of Lori Campbell. You know her?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, 75 degrees at Arnett. 61 is the dew point. Humidity is 61%. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 11 miles an hour with the wind gust up to 16. Sunset is 8:45. 40% chance of rain today and 75. 60% tonight. 70% tomorrow on a high of 74. 50% tomorrow night. 50% Friday and a high of 75. 50% Friday night. 40% Saturday and a high of 77. 30% Sunday and a high of 80. As it warms up, our rain chances get less is what it looks like to me, and I'm not no professional weather person. Anyway, we've been talking turkey. Is there anything that landowners, whether farm, ranch, or just own the land, is there anything people can do to help better their turkey population or just sustain what they got?
You know, cutting cedar trees is number one.
Leave the cottonwoods alone.
Well, and it protects the cottonwoods. We've had all these wildfires, and when you lose those cottonwoods, it's because it was surrounded by cedar trees. Even if you don't care about turkeys or quail, if you've got cedar trees all over your property, they're taking up space. You could have grass for cattle.
And using your water tables, too.
Yeah, so that's just the lowest hanging fruit is get rid of your cedar trees.
Yeah, because I went to the city Sunday to go pick Beth up, and I'm telling you, there between Clinton and Weatherford on both sides of the highway, even and past Weatherford all the way towards the river, it's cedar tree deluxe.
No, it's you know.
And aren't there programs out there to help with the cedar tree removal?
NRCS has got stuff going on. I know the state chapter for NWTF is talking about trying to get something going where kind of like the Prescribed Burn Association where they can show up and cut.
I think your little AR-15 will help a lot.
Well, hopefully we can hold some of this humidity through the summer so I can wear it out, burning stuff up.
So they got it. So basically, they're unlike quail or deer or stuff like that. You know, it's hard to do like that. But you know, we were talking about, and it's been a 50-50, either good or bad subject on social media with corn feeders and stuff. And you talk about people like that out there. You know, I noticed at one of my feeders, and I got a self feeder, and I had it behind the house there. And here I am putting myself under the deal that, you know, there's those feeders attract everything. And coons are, you know, just multiplying. Probably one of the reasons are deer feeders.
Oh, yeah. I can guarantee you, no matter what part of the state you're at, if you have a camera on a deer feeder, you're going to have a raccoon at it.
Oh, yeah. Because everybody thinks it's cute when you see coons hanging upside down, shaking the feeder, feeding the ones down on the ground, but it's really not cool at all.
I got better things to do with my money than raccoons.
And with sack corn this year being, what, $15 a bag and stuff like that, it's crazy. So deer feeders aren't the best answer to any of our wildlife problems.
Well, and like you said, with as expensive as it is, look at how much it costs to put in a food plot.
Right.
You come out way ahead.
Yeah, food plots benefit everything.
Yeah.
Not just corn. But, you know, they use these deer feeders like a local pub or bar, you know. Let's get them all coordinated right here to this spot, make your hunting easier. But it's really, maybe, you know, with that aflatoxin going on.
Yeah, aflatoxin's really hard on turkeys and quail. And if you are feeding corn, you're giving it to them.
Well, let's get to our breaking news with Lieutenant James Edwards. So we hear he's got a left eye that's damaged.
I supposedly, you know, got dotted up.
Yeah,
pretty good shiner.
I guess he was out creeping on a Bigfoot. Is what we're hearing. He had his binoculars up, and a quail jumped up and hit his binoculars and blacked his eye.
You know, this hasn't been confirmed by Scotty Webb, the Bigfoot biologist down at Mangum, but
yeah,
it's what we're hearing. You know, third or fourth hand. So.
So anyway, but he does have a black eye. I mean, when you see him, ask him, what happened there, Bigfoot? And so anyway, there's, speaking of biologists down towards the Mangum area, we got a new biologist down at Sandy Sanders. How's that going?
Joe Nabone, he transferred over.
He's another French Quarters guy.
Yep, we're recruiting him now. So he moved over from Lexington WMA, over there by the city.
Yep.
So. I think he's really enjoying it. He seems to like it anyways. We'll see when all the rattlesnakes come out this summer, if he still likes it.
I bet that was a culture shock for him to go from Lexington to Sandy Sanders.
Probably in a good way.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Now that I think about it. So he got to see their rattlesnakes come out of their...
They
don't hibernate. They just go somewhere where it's warmer and hide out.
I'm sure they found some in the shop already this year. So.
Right. So, anyway, and Ron Smith, who was the manager at Sandy Sanders and at the Luger WMA, he's now the big boss.
Yeah, he's now the supervisor for the region.
So, anyway, congratulations to all these promotions, and welcome to Western Oklahoma, Mr. Joe French Corners. So, anyway, there you got going on. Well, let's what's happening in the Department of Wildlife out here in Western Oklahoma? Improvements going on every day? I know you do a lot of burning, tree removal.
Yeah, all of Western Oklahoma right now, you know, spring food plots are going in, getting ready for burn season this summer. Cutting the cedar trees. I talked about those big projects.
What's your process on cutting your cedar trees? How do you guys do it?
So everybody does it a little bit differently.
Right.
I use the big drum masticators to just turn it into mulch.
Right.
And we just have the machines go through and do that. Some guys cut and stack them, and then we'll go and burn them.
Right.
Just whatever.
I'm surprised you don't stack them, burn them, since you're a fire bug.
That's a little too hot of a campfire for the signatures I've got.
Is it?
And then just, you know, the day-to-day operations, keeping everything running. We brought in cattle for our grazing leases.
Right.
So making sure we've got water for them and doing all that stuff. We've got all this research going on. We've got quail research, you know, at Ellis County WMA with Texas Tech.
OSU. Tell us a little bit about that, what you guys are doing with that project.
At Texas Tech, they're just sampling our birds for different parasites. They're sampling quail for parasites. The ranch that's next door is serving as a research spot for medicated feed for quail.
Uh-huh.
So the WMA is serving as like the control where those quail aren't getting it and things like that, and they're using it to compare. So nothing that we would do on a WMA, but obviously quail hunters are, you know, our constituents, and they're very interested in it. So easy way for us to just get some free health assessments on our quail.
So they're doing the medicated feed on one spot, and then you guys got to control non-medicated on
yeah,
the WMA?
No artificial feeding, no medication, just wild quail.
Right. And so we'll have those results, sometime in the next year or so?
Yeah, so hopefully. It takes a while to get all that stuff published and everything like that. And then our big turkey research has been going on. You know, we send out those tissue sample kits for turkeys during turkey season. We sent out over 400 this turkey season. So we're right now they're all getting sent down to Texas A&M Kingsville is the one that's doing that stuff for us, and they're cataloging it. So out of the 400, how many did we get? I don't know yet, but I know it was quite a bit.
I gotcha. And then Cody Griffin down here hanging around somewhere in Western Oklahoma.
Chasing some turkeys right now, it sounds like.
Yeah.
We went into the turkey hunting.
He's from OSU. He's what's his title from OSU?
PhD student, candidate, right. Something. But they trapped hens this winter, put GPS collar backpacks on them, and they monitor them to see when they start laying nests, and then when those nests will hatch, they'll catch the poults and stitch a transmitter onto those poults to track them.
Right.
So that'll give us everything, like, you know, the nest initiation dates, average nest size, nest success or failure, why did it fail, mortality stuff, and then habitat use, habitat selection. I think we went into this season with 30 hens on air, and then right now I think we're at 26, but that could just be lost hens.
Yeah, I've seen a couple reports, one from southeastern Oklahoma, and then they had another from Alabama or Georgia or somewhere. That one in Alabama, it was scary. They only had two or three left after that.
They say about, and I don't know how exact this is, but everybody's always kind of said that about 25% of your hens will be breeders. So when you only collar 30 or 40, you're not expecting very many to actually have a nest and have it be successful.
So if you had 40, you're expecting 10.
Yeah, on the high end. So
right.
It still gives us a lot of good information. And the movements, man, we're seeing some crazy movements. We had a turkey that was caught in Oklahoma, moved to Texas. I mean, all sorts of stuff. It's really cool. We'll have to get him up here.
I laugh when people say, man, them quail stay in one spot all the time. You sent me a deal with a GPS colored where it showed the movement, and they covered 320 acres every day, and they moved. Yeah, you go up there at the right time, you'll still find them around the old homesteads when you're bird hunting and stuff, but them birds travel.
Yeah, it's, you know, you used to think a covey of quail lived and died on 40 acres. And
it's not true.
Know, now that we have technology to show, to see if that's true or not, we're seeing it's not true. They
so do turkeys do the same thing?
Yeah, you know, they'll have winter roosting areas and spring roosting areas because
right.
Their needs change, and that habitat's going to look a little bit different. So they'll move. I know that when we were capturing turkeys at Pack Saddle back in, like, 16, the turkeys that would come on to us for the spring, they would come from 3 or 4 miles away to come to the
gotcha.
WMA.
I got you. Well, that's my boss, my landlord told me something funny here a while back. because I was having skunk and coon problems around the house. And he said that he used to catch some coons and take them a mile away. A week or two later, he got like, man, that's the same raccoon I caught. So he painted an orange stripe on it and took it a mile away. Sure enough, he came back, took it 2 miles away, caught it again. This is over not a couple weeks, but a couple months. Finally, he took it to a neighbor he didn't like about 5 miles away, and he never seen that coon again.
So, that neighbor was feeding corn, too, like he was.
Probably. No, he was. He's not a hunter, so it wasn't that. It was in his peanut hay. Oh, coons yeah. love peanut hay. So, anyway, all right, we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break, and when we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Taylor Ranch beef, and maybe a little bit of report on the Woodward up north. And we're going to talk to Marcus Thibodeau, works for the Department of Wildlife here, Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. We're going to talk a little bit about quail and quail highway. And I'm going to bring up my favorite subject, the super quail highways along the fence lines. I said that the other day, and I've been giving slack. People have been hammering on me. I got to spray them fence lines. No, you don't. So
I brag on you all the time about that.
Yeah, so we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Once again, a good afternoon to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 22nd. 788 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 361 brought 295. 13 at 503 brought 276.50. 3 at 685 brought 212. 4 at 759 brought 210. 27 at 937 brought 188. 9 at 965 brought 192. 24 at 1021 brought 177. 4 head of heifers at 329 brought 257. 13 at 428 brought 240. 8 at 544 brought 221. 10 at 569 brought 224. 33 at 743 brought 190.50. 7 at 809 brought 186. 2 at 838 brought 181. Butcher cows were 10 to 110.50. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 140. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's a 580-497-6095. And before I go, I'll let you know that Jimmy Clark can build a snowman out of rain, drown a fish, and tie his shoes with his feet. Yay! I kid you all not, I one time saw Jimmy Clark pull himself up in the bucket he was standing in. Once again, to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land, this is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 19th. I'm Drew Cobb. 391 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 486 brought 255. 2 at 510 brought 238. 5 at 590 brought 234. 2 at 673 brought 204. 10 at 728 brought 214. 6 at 754 brought 200. 3 at 775 brought 184. 6 head of heifers at 395 brought 258. 4 at 519 brought 242. 3 at 565 brought 230. 2 at 593 brought 201. 4 at 615 brought 215. 6 at 617 brought 224. 4 at 776 brought 174. Butcher cows were 46 to 112. Butcher bulls brought 104 to 130. Bred cows were 1060 to 1500. Pairs brought 1300 to 1900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That is 580-497-6095.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Awesome. Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cow Power. Supply chain issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives, even COVID way behind us now, but we're still seeing it. Lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. And Miss Jill Metter and I was just talking about that yesterday, getting the freezer full, because you never know what's going to happen day to day here in America. If you're one of those that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. Third-party verified all-natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662, 405-609-4662. I believe they are taking orders for June and July right now. So give Mr. Jimmy Taylor a ranch. It is some of the best beef, as far as I'm concerned, in the United States. Anyway, I picked Hollis, Oklahoma for your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Currently it's 75, dew point 63, humidity is 65. They've got 1.99 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. The winds are calm. Sunset at 8:41. Today, 40% chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, 60%. Tomorrow, 70%. Tomorrow night, 50%. 50% Friday. 40% Friday night. 30% Saturday. And 30% Saturday night. And Sunday, high of 84 and 30% chance of rain. So, anyway, great forecast. Whether you get it or not, it's still fun to read those forecasts with rain going on. Real quickly, there was 670 bulls and cows at Woodward yesterday compared to 373 last week. Breaker cows were bringing anywhere from $1 to $112.40 on average. Boner cows, they had about 100 head there, and they were bringing anywhere from $100 to $107.14 on average. Cows, the lean ones, they had over 100 head of lean cows there. They were bringing anywhere from $90.81 to $98.49 average. So the slaughter market is looking really good there. Slaughter bulls, they had over 30 there yesterday. High was 131, low was 95. Their average was anywhere from 95 to 124.03 per hundred weight. Bred cows were selling anywhere from 1735 was the highest, 1325 was the lowest, and cow-calf pairs were bringing up to 1785, 2 to 4 year olds and 5 to 8 year olds, and cow-calf pairs number one and number two with 150-pound calves on them were bringing $1,300. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Marcus Thibodeau with the Department of Wildlife here in Oklahoma, and he's the manager up here at Pack Saddle in Ellis County, and he's the turkey whisperer. He's the western turkey biologist. What else are you? Senior biologist now. Dude, you got room on your desk with all these titles?
No.
So, anyway, you just come back from one of my favorite places in the world. And you were up at my favorite place in Idaho. You just come back from the state of Idaho. You was up there turkey hunting. How was that?
Man, it is sportsman's paradise.
Oh, my God. I love it up there.
I mean, I saw elk everywhere.
You see any moose?
No, but the guy that I was hunting with, we were hunting pretty close to where he had killed a moose that winter.
Yeah, I see a lot of moose in that area.
There were guys going higher
What's
up the
name
mountain.
Of that town where you was at?
Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene. Yeah.
There were guys going higher up in elevation to chase bears, and they were telling me about all the different fish and trout, and you know, I was just there to
And it's beautiful there.
Oh, it, It was awesome.
It's gorgeous there. Even the Elks Lodge there has a golf course. Their own golf course there at Coeur d'Alene.
I guess it's pretty touristy, but man, it was.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have known it. It was really cool.
No,
giant lake out there. It was nice.
Yep. And it's just one of my, like I said, it's one of my favorite places in the world. When Sandy and I went up there, with Zoe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago and traveled through there. Then we went up next to the Canadian border and camped out there, and it's gorgeous through there.
A little different than Western Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. They know I'm not from around there when I speak.
So. Well, just all the trees, I was getting claustrophobic out there.
Yeah, so anyway, that was good going up there. Well, I appreciate you coming in. We ran out of time. We'll talk quail later on because the pears are showing up. You guys are hearing a lot of pears.
Yeah, doing our surveys on the areas, we're hearing some. It's fingers crossed.
I've been seeing different pears at different places. And also, if you guys have any, if you see any signs or reports on Bigfoot, call Lieutenant James. And are posted on my Bigfoot, Oklahoma Bigfoot page on social media. But Lieutenant James, he's trying to become an expert. And I guess he was trying to dart a Bigfoot, what I heard, and he got scope eye.
That's what he texted in and said, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I see. You guys have a great day. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.